find our peace. In today's sermon, it's going to be about hope, and where do we find hope? Not too long ago, I watched, I don't know if anybody else watched it, a guy named Alex Honnold. He climbed Taipei 101. Do we have anybody from Taipei? Really not? Okay. Do we know where Taipei is? Okay. So this is the 11th largest building in the world. It's huge. Alex climbed it without a rope, without a harness, with nothing. I think it is 508 meters tall. So for the Americans who don't understand meters, which is all of us, if we're honest, it's 1,667 feet. So he climbed this thing without any ropes or anything, and then climbed to the very top. And when he got to the top, do you know what he did? On top of the antenna, do you know what he did? He stood on it. I'm freaking out. Like, we're all watching it, and it was live on Netflix. So the whole thing was live. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? And I think everybody was worried to death. His wife is, you know, she's freaking out. She's like inside the building, takes the elevator up, and they took her to the floor he was climbing on. She's looking out the glass at him on the outside of this building. So she's shaking. She's freaking out. We're all nervous. There's only one person that wasn't nervous. Guess who? The guy climbing. So I don't know what was wrong with him. So, like, how was he not? But it, for him, I think this was like, you know, just a walk in the park. It's just so easy for him, like, you know, season running a 5K. Like, it's just so easy and simple. He had hope in himself. He knew what was ahead, and he knew he could do it. So I think religious hope, let's see if I had this up there, is based on our efforts. Gospel hope is based on the work of Jesus. So I think if I was the one going to climb that building, I would never have hope. I'm talking by the second, third floor, I'm dead. Or maybe I would fall off about 10 feet into it. Maybe I'd just sprain my ankle. But, like, he had a great hope in what he was able to do. And I think for us, a lot of times we focus on religion. And religion is based on our efforts, and it doesn't get very far. Gospel hope is based on the work of Jesus. So a few weeks ago, we looked at Hebrews 1. And we were talking about we want to leave the elementary teachings and doctrine of Christ. We want to continue on to maturity. But we have to have this foundation. And the foundation is three parts. Gospel relationship with Jesus that we can't do it. The second part is a church relationship. Strong relationship with each other to where we're growing together. And then the third part is a future hope. Future hope in what? One day, the Bible is very clear on this, that one day they will suffer, they being those that do not know God or obey the gospel, punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So while we're on earth, we're still in his presence. But one day, for those that don't believe, there will be eternal destruction. Matthew 25:46 says, and those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous shall enter into eternal life. So there's basically two fates for all of us, two directions we could go, eternal joy with Jesus or eternal punishment. And this makes me think a lot about this future hope. What gives us hope when we face that day that we'll end up in the right place? A lot of religion, even I think a lot of Christianity, ends up focusing on what we do and how well we live. And that ends up being hopeless. True hope is focused on Jesus. Hebrews 6:9 talks about there being an anchor that keeps a ship steady in dangerous water. So what it's saying here is our hope is anchored inside to the Holy of Holies, inside to the holy place where God is. There is an anchor that holds secure that brings us to God. And that is not our efforts. So today we're going to be in Hebrews 12:1-2. Can y'all see it? Let's read it together. Okay, one. It's not up now, it's up there. I was tricking you. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I love sports. Anybody else love sports? Okay. Anybody watching the Olympics? Right now? Anybody watching the Olympics right now? Okay. The hockey game is on, so some of us are nervous. But a lot of us love sports, right? And the image of this passage, it's like a tiguan. It's like a soccer field. It's like a stadium where people are watching a race. So back then, they didn't have the sports we have today, but I believe a lot of it was obviously running. So the image here, that there is a great cloud of spectators, a great audience watching, and you have some people in the middle, which the image here is us, we're running this race. And we're running hard, and we're trying to win, and trying to get to the finish line, and trying to beat the other people. And there's a great cloud of people cheering us on, watching us. So I've been able to experience this. Who knows what triathlon is? So triathlon is three sports. And me, I do all three sports badly. So it is swimming, and then biking, and then running. So it was late at night one night. I just watched this video of a father-son doing a triathlon together. The son had some physical problems. I'll talk maybe more about them later. And I just watched this video, and it was so moving. So it was late at night. I was in Chengdu. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to Google a couple of things I shouldn't Google. Triathlon China. So I Googled it and found out there was one in Beijing in like 6 months. I just learned to swim. So not a good swimmer. Before Peyton was born, I could maybe swim one lap in the pool without dying. And so like I could stay alive, but I couldn't really swim. So I just learned to swim and I'm like, you know, I can swim now. Why don't I do a triathlon? Which ends up being about a mile swim, 40 kilometers on the bike. And then you finish it up with a 10K or something like that. And there's different lengths, different versions. And so I was training. I was doing my bicycle. And I rented a bicycle in Beijing that was called a road bike. I'd never ridden a road bike before. I had a mountain bike. And I was like, well, a road bike's different. So my friend in Chengdu said, you can borrow my road bike. I said, okay, great. I'll borrow your road bike. And so I went to meet him to use his road bike. And he looked at me. And his face went from being happy to being really sad. I'll show you why. Because I wore clothes like this. Just normal workout clothes, right? Shorts, just a normal t-shirt. I wore clothes like this, and he looked at me, he's like, are you going to wear that? I'm like, I mean, these are workout clothes. He said, no. And he was a little mad because he wanted me to wear something like this. So both these things are very offensive. I offended my friend because I wore normal clothes. If I wear this, I'm going to offend everyone else, right? So I was this, I do not want to wear these type of clothing. But I wore the normal clothes, and I went and biked. I was like, you know, this bike is pretty good. Maybe I'll get a road bike. So this is where I learned Chinese math pretty quickly. I took it back to the bike shop, turned it in, and I said, how much would this bike be? And they said, oh, sure, R1. Yeah, some of us get it, right? 120,000 renminbi. I'm like, okay, which is about what? $15,000, $16,000, $17,000. I was like, how is that a $17,000 bike? I had no idea what I was doing. So I put it there and I just pretty much ran off. I'm like, I'm never going to borrow this guy. What if something would have happened? So but why do people buy? It had carbon wheels, a carbon frame. The bicycle had electronic shifters. So everything was top of the line. So needless to say, I did not ever borrow his bike again because I was scared to death. So that brings us this passage. Let us also lay aside every weight. So the image here in Hebrews 12 talks about we're running a race. And, you know, we don't run a race in cowboy boots and jeans, right? Because it would impede our progress. It would slow us down. So the same way in triathlon, we want to buy the most expensive bike, the most expensive wheels, the tightest clothes, so you can go faster. And I think that's the image here we're getting in Hebrews 12. Let us lay aside every weight. So what keeps us from chasing after Jesus? The image here is Jesus is the prize. We're heading towards him, and we want to lay aside everything that slows us down. So what could that be? I think there's a lot of things. Relationships. You know, there are some relationships in our life that, if we're honest, they slow us down. We're with those people, we think negative thoughts, we chase things that we shouldn't be chasing, or they don't speak into our life like we should, or they give us permission to sin, or they encourage us to sin. So I think there are some relationships in our life that slow us down. Busyness. Oh man, coming back from Southeast Asia to the American life, we are busy. And I think sometimes our busyness impedes our ability to walk after Jesus. It keeps us from chasing after him. It keeps us from maybe reading his word. It keeps us from being involved in church. It keeps us from being involved in the lives of others. I think busyness can be something that slows us down. The American dream, you know, bigger house, bigger car, faster this, faster that, wanting the world. I think that can also slow us down. So how do we kind of reset our mind in some ways to we're not chasing these things? Social media. We see all of our friends going on these beautiful vacations and doing all these great things in their home, and it looks like their family is perfect. And we look at it and we're like, oh, I'm such a loser. Anybody else feel like that? It's like, oh, I'm not doing everything good enough. That can slow us down and can make us discouraged to where we slide away from Jesus. Online entertainment. Jesus said, abide in me. Spend our time connecting to him. If I'm honest, I think it's real easy to connect to Netflix or to Facebook, and we spend a lot too much of our time abiding in that. Talking to myself too, right? It's real easy to do that. These things, I think the Bible's saying, let us lay aside every weight. Also says, and the sin which clings so closely. So we have these external things, which are a problem. There's also an internal problem within our heart. The sin which clings so closely. And I'm going to show you another picture, I think, just to continue on with this theme of sports. This guy has got the best bike imaginable. Carbon wheels, the best watch, the best clothing, the best helmet, and every external factor possible he has. But there's still a problem. There's still some weight to be lost. He's lost all the weight in his equipment that he could lose. Where else could he lose weight? Right? His own body. It's a lot cheaper to lose 5 pounds sometimes than it is to, you know, buy a $15,000 bicycle. So, but I think we treat life like that. Sometimes we want to blame the external factors. Anybody else? I want to blame, well, if I only had a faster bike. Or if I only had more time. Or if it's not my fault, it's really I don't have time. Or, you know, it's not my fault, it's really those people led me the wrong way. It's really not my fault, it's really the things on Facebook or the internet or the AI algorithm. It's real easy to blame the external factors. But I think the Lord gets at our heart here. And the sin which clings so closely. I think there's the external factors, but there's also the internal factors. Could be pride. You know, we gossip or talk about others, or we don't get involved because we feel like we might fail. We're scared of messing up, so we don't jump out. We don't reach out to others. We don't get involved. Greed. I think sometimes we don't give. We don't help others because we want more for ourselves, or we're concerned about our future, or we just want to buy something else or a newer version of something rather than help others. I think there's a lust. I think there's lots of different lusts in this world that we want. We want bigger this, faster this, more beautiful that. And we're always looking and saying, man, if I could have that thing, that would satisfy me. Power. It's real easy to want power. I want to be in control. I want to be the main person. I want to be the person in charge. I want to be the person that everybody else looks to. It's a lot of internal. These are all internal, right? It's real easy to blame the external. Ah, oh, it's an American dream. Everybody is like this. But man, when I look at my heart, man, I am greedy. We just got back from Southeast Asia where there's not really a Southeast Asia dream. There's not a Cambodian dream, really. They just want to eat. So we weren't around that every day. There's not a lot of like worldly pursuits. But we come back here and we're like, man, it's nice here. There's a lot of cool things here. It's not America's fault. It's my own greed and my own sin and my own lust for the things of the world that challenges me. Comfort. Man, it's hard, especially for Americans, it's hard to be uncomfortable, right? You know, I want my house at 71 degrees, and if it's 70, I'm like, what's going on? Or if it's 73, I'm like, it's too hot. Even up on stage, it's too warm. But I was outside this morning, I said, what? It's too cold. We have a desire for comfort all the time. And whenever that desire, we can blame, well, who put in this thermostat? If he would have done it right, I would be in a good... Or why is it so cold today? Or why is this? But really, a lot of the problems come from within, right? So there's a greater problem inside of us than there is outside of us. So I love talking about this part. So this is like, I was at the finish line. I probably didn't do great. You can see my boys. Reister had really long hair. Bryce, don't make fun of him at the time. And every time I would pass my family, what would I do? Speed up. So you go in circles, and my family's going to be there. So my hair look good? Do I look like I'm tired? Am I smiling? So I would always, and then as soon as I would pass my family, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm wearing out. So, or we were in the Tuojia Daiko. That was the name of our, I don't know how to translate the Chinese. That was the name of our triathlon group. Every time I saw somebody in the same clothing, I would go faster and try to make sure I look good. So that's the way it is in the race. There's a lot of spectators watching, and you don't want to fail. You know, you got people there, you know, you want to look good, you want to run well for them. And that's what we're seeing here in this passage. The image the writer's giving us, there's witnesses, there's an audience, and they're watching. And we don't want to lose face, we don't want to fail in front of this group. And so we go back, we look at the context of this passage, we go back to Hebrews 11. It's like all the heroes of the faith. You know, we've got Abel, who offered a great sacrifice to God. We've got Enoch, who walked faithfully with God. We've got Noah. We all know Noah. He obeyed God and built an ark, and it was a crazy thing to do. Abraham, who left his homeland. Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. We have Sarah, who believed God's promises. We have Isaac, who blessed Jacob and Esau. We have Jacob, who became Israel and had... and blessed his sons, worshiped God. We have Joseph, who remained faithful in the midst of lots of temptation, and then became the second to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. We have got Moses, who led God's people out of slavery, out of Egypt. We've got Rahab the prostitute, who protected God's people when they entered into the promised land. We've got Gideon, who defeated the Midianites. We've got Samson, who defeated the Philistines. And he died sacrificially. We've got David, the great shepherd, who defeated Goliath and then shepherded God's people and was a great king, a man after God's own heart. We have Samuel, the prophet. We have the other prophets who spoke God's word and endured persecution. Man, and they're watching. Does that make you nervous a little bit? I think sometimes when I read this passage, I think about all these people watching. And I'm like, oh no, I cannot fail in front of them. And then it says, let us also like them. It makes me think, I need to be examples. I need to live the life that these people lived, and I need to be as good as they are. Do y'all ever feel like that? Man, don't mess up. Everybody's watching. Man, that puts a lot of pressure on me. Anybody else? Do you feel like in your faith, man, it is hard to be like David? It is hard to be like Abraham. It is hard to be like Moses. Man, it is impossible. So the heroes of the faith are watching. Do you ever read the Bible and you get to a place and you're like, man, Noah wasn't that great. David wasn't that great. You know, Noah got drunk and was dishonored. Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister. Sarah laughed at God's promise. Isaac was deceived by Jacob. Jacob deceived Isaac. Joseph kind of bragged a little bit too much about his dreams. Do y'all ever feel like that? Moses killed an Egyptian. He disobeyed God. You know, Gideon made clothing that led God's people to worship idols. Samson, you know, pursued a moral relationship. He broke his vows. David committed adultery. And then to hide it, had the lady's husband killed. Samuel, his sons were terrible. The prophets, some struggled with fear or doubt. Okay, I can identify with this. Anybody else? Okay, I'm actually, I am a little bit like these heroes of the faith in their failures. So we have them watching, but at the same time, we know they're great and they're known for all these great things, but at the same time, they're not perfect. This is what they're doing. They're looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the founder and perfecter of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith. So with all these people sitting around watching, it's real easy to think as we run that they're really watching me. But I think what they're doing, they're really watching Jesus. He's the author, which means the beginner, the founder of our faith. But he's also the what? The perfecter of our faith. So what these heroes of the faith are doing, they're heroes not of righteous living, they're heroes of faith, looking to the prize, looking to Jesus. And I think what they're celebrating in this event, we're running, but they know what's going to happen. Jesus carries us through to the finish line because he carried each and every one of them through to the finish line. So they're cheering us on, but they know Jesus has already won and that Jesus does not fail. So in this father-son, I don't have time to watch this video. We might in the Chinese service. But the son is basically, he can't move. He's got cerebral palsy. He can't move. And this video is so moving because eventually he gets a computer and learns how to communicate. And he said, "Dad, I want to run in a race with you." And dad's like, "I'm a fat dude. I don't run, son." He's like, "Will you run for me?" He's like, "Gosh." Of course, the dad says, "Yeah, I'll do a 5K with you." And then the son after the race says, "Dad, I felt like when we were running that I was normal. I felt like I didn't have any problems when you were pushing me." And they keep going on, and eventually they get in the triathlon. The dad pulls the son in a boat. At one point, for 2.4 miles, the son is in a boat he's pulling. And you see the son waving his arm and cheering. And then the dad picks him up out of the boat and puts him into a bicycle. The dad rides the bicycle with the son in the front. The son is cheering. You see the wind going through his hair. He's having so much fun. Then after the bicycle, like, what was that? Iron Man is 160, I think, kilometers. Crazy. Picks his son up out of the bicycle and puts him into a wheelchair and pushes him for a marathon. The son, he's cheering. They're going through the finish line. The son is cheering the whole time. And he's like, "Dad, I feel normal." And the son carries him through, or the dad carries the son through to the finish line over and over and over again. And brothers and sisters, that's the gospel. I'm sure of this, that he who began the good work in you will bring you through to completion at the day of Jesus. That's what's happening in our race. Jesus is pushing us. He's pulling us. He's carrying us. And guys, it doesn't depend upon us. The finish line is guaranteed. And we get to cheer and soar and laugh and have a blast and point behind us and say, "Look at how awesome he is." And when we get to the finish line, guys, we're going to be covered in sweat and covered in blood. But it's not our own. We're going to get to the finish line one day and cross it. And we're going to realize the only way I made it there was because of his blood and his sweat. And we're going to look down and we won't be on some kind of boat or bicycle or wheelchair. We're going to be on a cross. And Jesus is going to push us and pull us through because of his cross and take us to the finish line. And it doesn't depend upon what we've done. These heroes of the faith, y'all, it all leads to Jesus. Whether we're thinking about, oh, there's so many. Abraham left his home and went to bless others. Jesus left heaven and came to bless us. Noah built an ark. Jesus was the ark. David was a great shepherd who killed the enemy. Jesus was the greatest shepherd who defeated sin for all time. And each and every one of their stories points to one person, points to Jesus. So as these great cloud of witnesses are surrounding us and watching us, what they're doing is they're smiling. Rahab's thinking, "I was a prostitute. He saved me." Jesus is like, I was a murderer. Moses is like, I was a murderer. Samson was like, I had immoral relationships. And they're cheering because they know Jesus will take us through to the finish, just like he took each and every one of them through to the finish. Isn't that good news? So this is hope. This is gospel hope. Religious hope is based upon us and how well we do, how well we run this race. And I guarantee you, each and every one of us are going to drop out. We will never be good enough. We will never make it to the finish. But when we fall over dead tired, or we mess up, we realize that Jesus is pushing us and pulling us and carrying us the whole time, and we will definitely make it through to the finish. There's a couple of application questions. I'm going to go ahead and ask the worship band to come back up. So what weights are we not taking off? Might be some things in our life that we need to take off that help us run better, not because it's required for salvation, but it helps us run better. And we're going to be happier without these weights. Are there sins within us? Are there something within us, pride or desire for comfort or control or things of the world or greed, that we need to confess and bring to the light? Because once we get rid of that extra kind of spiritual fat, it helps us run better. And the last question, if someone asked your wife, your best friend, your kids, somebody at school, what motivates you, what would you say? Are you running towards the prize of Jesus, or are we running towards something else? Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that salvation and hope and eternal peace does not rest upon us. And we thank you that it's your blood and sweat that brings us through to the completion. Lord, help us to see that right now, and help us to worship you for your goodness. It's in Jesus' name.